are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Indeed you are, and we are back live.
We're back, and we're bigger than ever, Michael.
Bigger than ever.
Yes.
After a two-week sabbatical.
Yeah,
a little time off.
Is that what it was?
I think so.
A sabbatical?
That's what they're calling it these days.
Was
yeah,
it?
I think so.
Was it 2 weeks? It seems so much shorter.
Was a holiday weekend?
It seemed shorter because I needed the relaxation, but it seemed longer because I missed you.
Did you?
I really did.
Wow.
Do you believe me at all?
Or? Not at all.
No, it was nice to have a break, though. It was nice to have a break.
It was nice to have a break.
Yeah.
But we were still busy working guys during
that time period.
And very busy. We have proof in the studio to that.
Yes.
And
it's a very busy day today. But before we get to who we have here, we'd like to begin by thanking our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit www.breakdownexpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for supporting State of the Arts and our live arts calendar.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're always
lovely people.
Very, very supportive. Yes,
indeed.
We are joined by no less than three guests today. This is first of our triplicate for us. Maybe?
I think so.
I know. One in studio and two on the phone. In a few minutes, we'll be talking to one of the co-creators of that theatrical juggernaut, Tony and Tina's Wedding. Mark Nasser is in Chicago right now with a new interactive theatrical piece called Johnny Boy's Graduation, which I saw bits of it online. It looks absolutely hysterical. And we're looking forward to chatting with him, but let's give him his fake applause.
All right.
There we go. It's throwing me. I tell you. I got to give it to him again. There we go. That better?
It's very polite.
And I'd like to apologize for the technical error with this.
Okay. You can't do it right all the time.
I know. And who else do we have, Michael?
I'm so sorry.
I'm going to throw you the ball there.
And later.
I'm throwing you there, Chuckles, am I?
Ladies and gentlemen, the Tony Award-winning Drama Desk and Outer Critics. I have to start.
He's drunk. Yeah. He's drunk again.
And later in the hour, the Tony Drama Desk and Outer Critics Circle Award winner for her performance as Miss Adelaide in Guys and Dolls, soon to be gracing a stage here in the Los Angeles area in a show called The Prince and the Showboy. Faith Prince joins us just half past the hour.
I got it right that time. And last but most certainly not least, and currently on stage in the Glendale Center Theater's critically acclaimed smash hit, the always heartwarming musical theater classic Annie, please welcome the always irreverent Peter Hussman. Did you know that, Peter? Did you know you were always irreverent?
I'm irreverent.
Are you?
It's good to know. I'll act accordingly.
Please do. Please do. Just read the cards. Would you just read the cards? So, Michael, how was your 2 weeks?
Well, you know, it was great. Speaking of Annie, I had the pleasure of directing Peter in this production. And
yes.
He's an amazing Daddy Warbucks. And we got that off the ground opening on May 17th.
And congratulations on your reviews. I have read a bad one. I was looking at bitterlemons.com where they put all the reviews together. You're 100% sweet.
That's quite an honor coming from them and also from the critic that wrote the review for stage and cinema, Jason Rohr.
Yeah, Jason.
He's found God or something in this production.
So. Jason is a tough guy to please.
Yes, he is.
We're actually friends, and he's trashed me in reviews.
Well, when he responded to the invitation to review, I said, Jason, now this may not be your cup of whiskey, so if it isn't, let me know now.
Yeah.
He said, no, I want to come.
Really?
I definitely want to come.
Yeah, and he loved it.
He loved it. I should qualify that, though.
I said that he trashed me. He did not trash me in a review. He actually said very, very nice things about me in the review.
Yes.
This is a production that he trashed.
So yeah, well, you know, he's a critic. He is one of the true critics instead of a reviewer.
Exactly.
He's a critic.
You read
that's
his...
You
could tell that there's a lot of thought behind what he doesn't just crank it out with the synopsis and so-and-so is good. There's really some work that takes place there.
Exactly.
I'm just preparing for the next time he reviews me.
All that praise in right now. But also just enjoying the holiday last weekend to the extent of which we could, right? Everybody was still working. This man was doing five shows last week. So and gearing up for the Tony Awards. How exciting is that?
Yeah.
Next Sunday.
Yeah.
This coming Sunday. And, you know, the Drama Desk Award winners were announced today, Paul.
They were.
They were.
If only someone knew what the nominations were.
Will. look just downward there.
Yes, I will.
But, you know, one of the young ladies who is one of our orphans in Annie, her father is actually a cast member in the show that has won Best Musical.
Oh, really?
Yes. Our young lady is, excuse me, Lucy Taylor, and her father is Andy Taylor. co-starring in the musical Once.
And that was the winner?
Taking Broadway by storm, yes.
I'm looking at Revival of a Musical, okay.
Yes, no, that was Follies.
You're going to give me a cheat sheet, Michael. I need larger print. I'm elderly.
It's in red, for God's sake. No, you can't see that?
No, I can now.
Oh, okay.
I can now. Made the error, I definitely can see it.
So there's some Follies, which is playing here in Los Angeles. I actually just closed yesterday. Did you see it, anybody, Peter?
No time. Funny enough, you were keeping me busy, Michael.
Yeah.
I didn't have a chance.
Damn.
You said it was phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yes, it truly was. As a revival of something that was phenomenal to begin with, this was even more phenomenal, like you had never seen it, you know, before. So it was quite spectacular.
I was going to audition for that, but I had a conflict.
You did?
I can't sing or dance. So,
that would, yeah, kind of put you out of the room.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough for me, but...
But happy to see that they're getting their just due here on Broadway. And Death of a Salesman taking Best Play. And this is kind of like the Golden Globes before the Academy Awards comes out, isn't it? This is a good indication. And, you know, Danny Burstein, who was in Follies, he took the Best Actor in a Musical. So lots of you should go just to the Tony Awards site and take a look at this if you're interested. And I'm sure many of you are, but...
I would
love
to have seen Death of a Salesman. My friend Ted was in the revival a few years ago with the Brian Dennehy revival. He played Happy Loman in that. Yeah.
Yes.
And that was great, but I would love to see Philip Seymour Hoffman because there's nothing he does that I don't enjoy. He's a great actor.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Completely.
So, shall we move on to our guest, Michael?
I think so. We have somebody exciting on the line.
Why don't you give our first guest his due?
I certainly will.
You know, since I already cheated him a little bit.
I will. In addition to being an accomplished playwright and stage, film, and TV actor, our first guest is the co-creator of Tony and Dina's Wedding, the longest-running off-Broadway comedy in history. He originated the role of Tony when the play debuted in New York City and presented the role in cities across the country, including Los Angeles, Chicago, Boston, and San Francisco. And here to talk about his interactive project, a new project, Johnny Boy's Graduation, the hottest show in town, according to WGN in Chicago, please welcome Mark Nassar.
Mr. Nassar, are you on the line with us?
Oh, yeah.
He is there.
Wow, thanks for that intro. That was fantastic.
You like that?
You
like that?
Very well done.
So, Mark, I know you got a lot going on and your time with us is limited, but first of all, it's great to talk to you. Mark and I actually did the... First, Chicago production of Tony and Tina's Wedding.
Oh, you did.
Chicago
I knew you were
cast.
Involved. In,
I was. Yeah. I was Vinnie Black, the Cadillac of Caterers, and Mark reprised the role he created of Tony in that production. But very anxious to hear about Johnny Boy's Graduation. Mark, can you give the listeners sort of a thumbnail synopsis of it?
Yeah, it's interactive like Tony and Tina's Wedding. The guests are the audience are the guests at the party. In this show, Johnny's getting out of jail, and the boss is throwing him a party.
Okay.
And that's the premise of it. You know, Johnny's going away for 6 years. It was a diamond heist. And, of course, when he gets out, everybody wants to know where the diamonds are. And it's just, it's just a crazy, crazy show. We have, we're actually a half a block away from the actual jail. So Johnny gets out of jail every time we do the show.
Oh, so.
which just takes it to another level.
So in other words, unlike Tony and Tina's, where you walk from the chapel to the dining hall, he's walking from the jail to the dining hall in this one.
Yeah, exactly.
You modernized it a little.
It's a surprise party, and he walks into a surprise, but it's on video, but it does look live. And when he shows up, it's great there's a great anticipation. So it's a blast.
Oh, so you're saying...
And Paul, I had a part for you if you were in town. You know that, don't you?
Yes. Well, and I also watched it. See, that's what an actor does. They watch the promo video for the production that's online. And then they just go, okay, could have played that, could have played that, could have played that. Or, Was it De Niro said that? He goes, that's how an actor looks through the script. Just goes, my part, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. My part, bullshit, bullshit. I think
how many lines?
Yeah, exactly.
How many lines do I have?
But I got to tell you, Mark, watching the clip, and let's put that website out there. It's just johnnyboysgraduation.com, correct?
Yes, exactly.
Johnnyboysgraduation.com, and there's the video clip up there, the trailer especially, is just hysterical. But I have to say, as much as I love Tony and Tina's Wedding, this thing seems to have almost a more frenetic quality to it just by virtue of the fact that it's in a more confined space. Have you found that to be the case? I mean,
I think it would be hard to beat a wedding for an interactive piece because everybody understands that ritual. So they fill in all the blanks. But with Johnny Boy's Graduation, there's a little more play to it. In other words, there's a lot of, you know...
More structure?
Yeah, there's more structure. There's more dialogue between the actors, and it builds in a different way. But it's also, the space is intimate. But just like when we did Tony and Tina's as a showcase, that was a more intimate space also. So that's where we're at with it right now. But, from doing the show so often, Tony and Tina's, as many times as I have, I think I worked out a lot of the kinks, and I think we keep the ball in the air. My co-writers, Kevin Alexander, is also one of the original Tony and Tina's writers, and Denise Fennell and Justine Rossi Borelli, who's also Tony and Tina veterans.
Oh,
so
okay.
it's well loaded. Plus, we have the great Marty Shannon from Chicago, who played the priest.
Oh, yes.
And he plays Max Gold, the attorney, who's kind of like the MC.
Oh, okay.
And that's the part I had for you, and Marty wanted to play the priest. I said, Marty, you want to play the priest in this show, too, after 8 years? I mean, these people are insane.
This guy who played the priest in Tony and Tina's Wedding, he would get drunk. I mean, the character would get drunk. And he would just open his shirt. He's dressed like a priest. He's got his shirt completely open, this hairy chest. And he'd just go right up to women in the audience and just go, did you see Thornbirds? It's just like, it never failed. And it never failed.
Oh, he's unbelievable. He is a master at interactive theater, I'll say that.
He was the longest in the Chicago cast of TNT, wasn't he?
I think Marty's done, more shows than I have. I mean, I've done it in more cities, but he's done more shows. He's a machine. No. He's a machine.
Well, Mark, I got to tell you, the success and the reviews from the Johnny Boy's Graduation are just really staggering. I was looking at them online today, and they're upcoming. You said you have an upcoming production going, coming up, and then you're...
Yeah, we have them, through July, end of June through July and August, and, we're still at the sort of... I came into Chicago to do a six-week showcase. And we're still here, a year and a half later.
Oh, wow.
I would like to take it to the next level, but as you know, it's difficult to raise money in these times because, raising money for theater, especially off-Broadway theater, it's a luxury investment, and it's really been difficult, more difficult than I thought it would be to raise, the kind of capital we did for Tony and Tina's Wedding.
Well, it's also especially difficult when you're talking about you're not moving a play from one location to another. This is a full event with the meals and everything.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
far more complicated.
I mean, this meal that we have here, Tony and Tina's Wedding, I think we had mozzarella and a meatball or something. This is...
Yes, we did. I ate it 370 nights, so I know. At my autopsy, there'll just be one chunk of pork.
I probably ate about, 300 days in a row baked ziti,
Yeah.
And I went to a friend's house for dinner, and she thought, oh, this will be fine. I'll serve baked ziti. I'm like, oh, my God, you're out of your mind. I mean, I eat like an animal anyway, but so I did eat it, but that's, how it is.
Well, Mark, thank you so much.
Well, I was going to say, Mark, and you've enjoyed success as a screenwriter as well. You've written.
Yeah, I just have a movie based on a play of mine called The Mayor's Limo, mm-hmm. That ran off Broadway in New York for a while, and it's a movie called The Line in the Sand, which just it's getting a release now. I think we're going to it's going to open in New York in the next month or two. The distributors are looking into that now, so we'll see what happens.
Well, congratulations on the many awards that the film has won, too. That's kind of exciting, and all the festivals it's been through. So, do you prefer film writing as opposed to playwriting?
No, not necessarily. I think playwriting is easier, just because that's what I'm used to. I'm used to writing a show that takes place in one room. But I do enjoy screenwriting, and because of the success of this movie. I've actually had some commissions, so it's been great. It's been another, you know, another income. But I enjoy it. I'm getting better at it. You know, it's a different skill, but it's phenomenal, man. You know, being on stage, there's nothing like it. You live the part for a couple hours, but you can go anywhere in a film, and that's kind of exciting, too.
Yes, awesome. Well, to get tickets to see Johnny Boy's Graduation,
yeah,
Paul, we should tell them, of course, it's very simple. You simply go to info@johnnyboysgraduation.com.
Right.
Is there a telephone number at all, Mark?
No, you can just go online. Oh, my God, I don't even have the number on me. Am I terrible? But just go on www.johnnyboysgraduation.com, and, you know, the numbers are all there.
Yeah, WGN, the hottest show in town. Absolutely hilarious. I highly recommend it. Anna from WGN-TV, also a whole lot of crazy. Just the reviews are just unbelievable. So continued success with that, Mark. And we know you have to go, but we thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us.
Indeed, thank you, sir.
I really appreciate it, guys. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And I will be there in mid-July, so I hope to catch it while I'm there and take one of the actors out and quickly replace them.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All righty. Wow. Good day.
Great guy.
Sounds like it.
Great guy. He's a nice guy. Yeah.
Very nice man.
And he just he came to Chicago, and he was very cool with the production there, because, you know, it's, you create something and you do it in a certain city. It's really hard to go to a new place and not try to recreate what happened before. And he didn't do that, which I thought was very cool.
But that kind of interactive theater.
Oh.
Oh, that must be exciting for a performer, an actor.
It's exciting.
You did it so much. Yeah.
It's exciting, but the thing is, I was very lucky because I was the MC. I was like the caterer. It was like his joint. So yeah. I was the MC. I had it easier than anyone else, not because of what I had to do, but because my voice got saved because I was the only one on a mic the whole time. So because I had to sort of corral everything, and everyone, at some point, people would just, it was just a matter of how many people didn't have a voice. Because there was never a point where everyone was working at 100%.
Oh, that but, sounds like fun.
But we're tight on time, so let's go right into Peter, shall
sure.
we? Can I give him the...
Please.
The irreverent.
Intro, the irreverent.
Yes.
Our next guest was last seen at the Glendale Center Theater as John Adams, a phenomenal John Adams, I must say, because I saw him in 1776, one of my favorite musicals, and in Love and Kisses. Most recently, he appeared on stage with Annie Potts in the benefit Mothers and Others on Autism and Dialectics of the Heart with Sharon Lawrence at the Edgemar Center for the Performing Arts, a theater I know well, having just done Ghosts there. A professional film and television actor for over 20 years, please welcome Peter Husman. There you go. How are you?
I wish I had gone out to see you in Ghosts there.
Oh,
I would
well,
have loved to have seen that.
I'm sorry.
It got great reviews.
I'm sorry that you didn't make it. It was it was a lot of fun. It's just, you know, who does Ibsen anymore?
So yeah, exactly. Right,
you
know,
when you're not in college, how do you do Ibsen? But I managed to do it. And
a different twist on it, too.
Yeah, yeah. And
Michelle Danner was directing
Michelle,
it.
No, Michelle Danner was Mrs.
Show.
Alving.
Oh, man.
Yeah. No, it was directed by Doug Kayback. But
I'm sorry I missed it.
How does it feel to be on your own? No. How does it feel to do, I mean, Michael knows so much about Annie, so I want to ask you a question because, I mean, obviously Michael directed it, but when you're doing something that is so phenomenally, that has so much public affection for it,
yeah,
how do you make it new for the audience? Or do you make it new for the audience? You obviously make it new for yourself.
Yeah, I just like any part, I think, and as I'm sure you can relate to, I just go in with my instincts and what the script and the part says to me and how I see it. And we were talking before how the new fella on Broadway, how it's a different kind
very
of Daddy
different.
Warbucks.
Yeah.
And that's inevitable. You know, that's his take on it. This is my take on it. And I don't know. I guess that's just the way I make it new.
What were you saying, new fella?
Well,
new fella?
Annie, of course, is in its 35th anniversary year, so it is being revived on Broadway for its 35th anniversary.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And the production.
They just announced the new Daddy Warbucks.
Yes, who is an Australian megastar in the theater there, Anthony. Is it Worley, I believe?
It was something like something that. Like I forget. That.
Forgive me, Anthony, because I know you're listening, I'm sure. But
not the Anthony Worley. He owes me money. Oh, sorry.
Oh, that was Joanne.
Yeah, right, Joanne.
Exactly. No, forgive me for not remembering his last name, but he's from the opera world. So
Anthony Newley, actually. Yeah. They've resurrected the corpse of Anthony Newley.
Go.
We're
going to
wheel him out there.
A definite
the hair's already
approach.
Fallen out, so it's an easy thing to do.
No maintenance there. No, he's very different because he is from the opera world, and yet he has some sort of an interesting sense of humor, but it's quite different. The production clips that I saw this morning of the Australian version, which is where he is mm-hmm. before he heads to New York, is very sophisticated, actually, in a different kind of a way. The orphans are considerably older than they would be normally cast.
Yeah.
They're all serious singer dancers.
35, 36.
Yeah, give or take. No, not quite that old. But, you know, their six-year-old appears to be about nine.
Okay.
You know, and quite
whereas
together.
The six-year-old in our production,
yes.
Leah, is remarkable.
Is, and
she
she's
is.
Three.
Yeah. So,
She's gifted.
She is a very special young
girl. I mean, all the orphans are just incredible.
Are. You were saying that, Michael.
Yes, they
you're
are.
Just really blessed with this.
In fact,
work.
Backstage, I try and do my wardrobe changes as quickly as possible before I get back on stage so I can get back out there and watch the kids through
really?
The curtain and see
awesome.
Them because they're just so delightful to watch.
One of the great things I love about Glendale Center Theatre, which we've talked about before, is the fact that because it's in the round, you don't miss anything.
Yeah.
And also, you are just not caught up in, you know, just by virtue of the fact that it's in the round, you can't have elaborate sets that block views
right.
and
right.
things like that.
Yes.
But there's a benefit to that because it focuses you in on the action.
And it's not quite as interactive as Tony and Tina's, but because they're so so close to you, the audience, I mean, you're sometimes tripping over their feet.
It's the Annie Horror Picture Show. That's what it is. You throw toast, you spray it with...
You oh. never know what's going to happen, you know, so... but it is. It's so intimate. It's nice.
Yeah. No, and how many shows now have you done at Glendale?
No, you named the three.
It. Really? Just no.
Yeah.
I named two. Was there another?
You said Love and Kisses.
Was there
Love and Kisses? Is like 25 yeah. years ago, and then I was resurrected to do 1776 last year. And I actually don't do stage work a whole lot, and I hadn't done anything since 1776.
That really astounds me because you have just like that stage. You have such a stage voice. You know?
Yeah, it does. It does carry, as my wife often reminds me,
does
and my kids.
Does carry?
It does carry. Keep it down, Peter. It's okay. We can hear you.
That's part of your charm, and that's also something.
But
that
it works for Daddy.
To the character.
It worked for John Adams, and it worked for Daddy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. He's a very commanding presence on the stage, and he's such a good actor that you. Pay attention to everything that he does.
And what is
and aside, a good singer as well.
Aside from all the negative things you've told me privately, Michael, about working
those
with
things.
Peter.
do tell.
Just out of curiosity, I mean, it's been we never get a chance to talk about this, but it's been a while since you've directed. And what
it
is
has.
The experience? I mean,
yeah,
aside from being
there,
exhausting,
yeah.
what has the experience been like for you?
It's, you know, going back to the theater in the round, of course, has its challenges, as we were just saying, and keeping it moving and keeping the sightlines available to people. And you know, there's some directors direct differently than I do out there. And I think I become more involved, actually, with the actors and the acting aspects of it and less of a traffic cop sometimes.
Right.
Which is what I consider that to be. But it is theater in the round. So that's something that's terribly important. You know, it's part of the job, isn't it?
Yeah.
In keeping it all moving. And so, you know, with the help of the choreographer, and we also have one phenomenal gentleman that's in the company that is kind of permanently attached to the theater on staff there. He choreographs, if you will, not the dancing, but the maneuvering of the sets on and off stage, which
oh,
is in geez. Itself
yeah, a whole,
an
a production.
Art.
I'm sorry, one guy?
One fellow. He's always...
Well, he coordinates it, but everybody's involved in
the cast
in moving everything
in. He orchestrates
in and
how it's all going to happen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
And
he
might as well be. He might as well be a choreographer.
Exactly.
Right.
It's so intricate.
But, I mean,
yeah.
it's a very
Paul.
critical
yeah.
job.
Fabulous.
Yes, Paul Reed.
Yeah.
Paul Reed.
Not only a good dancer and actor.
Great. And he does a great Stan Laurel.
Yes, which I had...
During the NYC...
I ask him to do that. I ask him to do that character,
which
he makes a living at doing stand-up.
And really? Sometimes when I'm singing NYC, I get distracted because I'm looking at him, and he I grew up watching Laurel and Hardy, and I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, oh, my God, that's him. You
can
know?
Can I interrupt you with a great Stan Laurel story?
Yeah.
Sure.
Dennis McCallion.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis, I worked for Jenny Jones for years, and Jenny's boyfriend, Dennis McCallion, who's an old friend, one of the first producers of my show, was a huge Stan Laurel fan, and he was in... I had a high school friend, and he was telling his high school friend, you know, I love Laurel and Hardy. Mm. His friend said, did you want to meet Stan Laurel? And he said, what are you talking about? He said, my dad's his accountant. He's about 85 years old. He has a little apartment over in Hollywood. They went over and they sat and they had tea and they spent the afternoon talking to Stan Laurel. He was in a wheelchair at the time, but he was just regaled them with these stories. It's sharp.
Yeah.
You know, sharp as a tack, but just it's just like, boy, that's just one of those things that never happened.
Absolutely.
You know, and the fact that it was some guy dressed as Stan Laurel, I don't really think matters. I think if the memory is there.
Oh, yeah.
I think that.
Oh,
no, it actually was.
Yes.
Dennis ever tell you that story?
No.
Really?
Yeah. No.
Oh, no. But he did. It's true.
Did he die a modest man financially?
I don't
or
know.
Was he.
I don't
you
know.
You said a small apartment. That's why
it
I asked
was a small
that
apartment,
question.
Yeah. I don't know. They weren't there for his
Perhaps.
Death. They just had tea with him, Michael. Well, how much am I supposed to know?
I thought, you know, you never know what.
And here it goes again.
So they went there for tea, and he died right there. In front of him. It was actually, Dennis is still in therapy.
Yeah. With a smile on his face.
Thank you for bringing yes, right.
With that stupid smile
with
on
that
it.
With that stupid
just trashed the Hollywood legend.
Yeah, exactly. Why don't you tell them, Paul, how to go see Peter and Annie so before
will,
we
I will.
Further.
To see to see Peter and Annie. Ticket purchases for Glendale Center Theater. Easily enough, GlendaleCenterTheater.com. That's GlendaleCenterTheater.com. You should note that both center and theater have an R-E as ending, the affected.
Is that English or American?
It's affected.
It's affected.
Arrogant,
affected. Yeah,
basically.
Okay.
That's what it is. GlendaleCenterTheater.com or by calling 818-244-8481. That's 818-244-8481. And the Glendale Center Theater is located 324 North Orange Street in beautiful Glendale, California. Public parking lots are located in the immediate area of the theater, ample street parking, and those killer restaurants right nearby.
Yes,
which are
right,
the two
right
that
across
you
Sally.
Sent me to? The
Jack's and Damon's.
Right. I had fish and chips at Jack's.
Yes, you did.
It was rocking good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great little place.
Yeah.
And
it's walking distance. You park once and
it's right there.
I know it sounds like shticky, but the fact of the matter is in LA you really have to point that out. If you can park once and walk to dine and then walk over to the restaurant, or as I do, walk to dine, have 9 cocktails, and then walk to the theater.
Which many audience members do, and it's even the better for
yeah,
it.
Exactly,
know?
Exactly. You enjoy the show more.
And there's no bad seats, remember, at the Glendale Center
that's
Theater.
That's right.
No, there's not, I mean, there's not one seat's more than like 30 feet from the stage.
Yeah, it's all right there, so in the round.
And, place. He's got Peter's got some fabulous people co-starring in the show with him. Janelle Lee as the...
Miss Hannigan.
Miss Hannigan, ever so interesting in this production, Miss Hannigan. You know, this production actually, it's less
fabulous.
Cartoonish and more real. And wouldn't you say overall?
We tried
to go for that as opposed to making it too much like the cartoon. And she does a marvelous job. And Heather Duden-Bustel.
Yeah.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Fancy way of saying it.
Yeah.
Beautiful woman.
Oh, she plays Grace.
His love interest, Grace Farrell.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Like the secretary to Daddy Warbucks. She's writing such a beautiful voice.
Yes, indeed. And just a good actress. You know, one of those.
Fabulous.
She's always present and right there. And Clayton Ferris and Krista Hamilton as Rooster Hannigan and Lily St. Regis.
They are so funny.
They are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Don Woodruff as Franklin D.
Roosevelt. FDR.
FDR.
Keep it, short
I
there.
Started to say Delano and Eleanor at the same time.
Yeah.
Right? So you've got plenty of chances to see it, ladies and gentlemen. It runs through June 30th, and performances are Thursday through Saturdays, two shows on Saturdays, and of course the price... Are you sitting down? Are you standing up?
Exactly.
To go see this kind of quality theater at one of our mid-sized houses, 400 seats in the round, beautiful, beautiful building. $28 is the top ticket on this show.
Exactly.
So, I know.
And if for no other reason, come and see these kids
and get out
dance
to see
and
the theater.
Act and sing.
Yeah.
They are fabulous.
Absolutely.
You have said that before. I mean, is that why Glendale? I mean, it's obviously the quality of the productions, but it's got to be one of the reasons that they're always packed. I mean, where else can you see a theater of that quality for that amount?
They've raised their ticket dollars for the first time in several years by $2. This year,
I tell you, those greedy bastards.
We get people after the show who say, we've been coming here for 17 years, every year, and I mean, just constant, just devoted followers to the theater.
And you see that especially when they do their holiday thing.
Oh, that's the Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
They have a loyal subscription base there.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of loyalty, and it's 4:30 on the nose, I suppose we need to call our lovely...
You want to give her an intro,
guest.
Michael, while I dial her in?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
As we mentioned earlier, ladies and gentlemen, our next guest has been dazzling Broadway audiences since winning the Tony Award, the Drama Desk Award, and Outer Critics Circle Awards for her performance as Miss Adelaide in Guys and Dolls. Other Broadway credits, A Cater to Fair, Tony Award, Drama Desk Award, and The Little Mermaid, Bells Are Ringing, Nick and Nora, Jerome Robbins Broadway, Little Me, The Dead, Noises Off, and regionally Terrence McNally's Unusual Acts of Devotion. Most recently, Faith starred in the national tour of Billy Elliot. And talking about her upcoming appearance here in Los Angeles at a little place, Gold Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, please welcome Faith Prince.
Well, we'll welcome her in a moment. I'm calling her right now. Hopefully she will pick up. The magic of internet radio and no screener. But we should have her shortly, and as soon as we hear from her, we'll look forward to hearing her.
Nice.
She should be at Sterling's Upstairs. Oh,
terrific. So, it's upstairs at the Federal.
I haven't been there yet, but I'm going to have to get over there.
No, it's great. It's great. This is exciting, isn't it?
Hey, it's Faith. Leave me a message, and I'll get right back to you.
The joys of internet radio.
So, Peter, how you been? How are things?
Back, baby.
It's good to see you. So, 1776, tell me about it. So, there's these kids, and they're dressed like Benjamin Franklin.
Exactly. Go! Yes. The Continental Congress is a little shorter.
As a matter of fact, if you wouldn't mind, Peter, do a couple of numbers for us, would you?
You know, Paul, perhaps we should have left the number there on that on her answering service for her to call back.
Well, all right, I'll call her again.
Shall we?
Yeah.
This might have been just
exciting. She's in the process of moving home, so it's a little frantic time.
Okay, well, we'll call her again. We'll see if she picks up. If she doesn't pick up, we'll have the entire listening audience listen to the message that we leave for her, which is always fun.
Yeah. I'm not going to let you do that.
That's okay. Well, I've got to make sure I have the number right because we get so few call-ins.
What? Hi, this is Faith.
This is Faith. It's a good...
Oh, no. I make sure that I give her the proper number.
Oh, yes.
Hey, it's Faith. Leave me a message, and I'll get right back to you.
Hello, Faith. This is Paul Strolley with Michael Sterling on State of the Arts on LA Talk Radio. Give us a call back, would you? 323-203-0815. We're in the studio, and this is going out live. It wasn't my idea. 323-203-0815. Look forward to hearing from you. Just call us anytime. We're just talking about 1776. Apparently, they've done a remake with all children. So we'll talk again soon. Bye now. There we go. Okay, see? That was good.
There you go.
There you go.
Now, if she only calls back, right?
When is
well,
that,
you know
though,
what, though?
Happening at the Sterling?
It's actually
upstairs.
On June 11th. June 11th.
Okay. If we don't get her, you give us a synopsis of the Prince and the Showboy.
Because, definitely.
What is it? It's an unusual title.
It's Prince called The Prince and the Showboy.
Obviously, she's
which is
the Prince.
A takeoff on The Prince and the Showgirl.
Right. Okay.
And the Showboy in this particular case is our good friend, Broadway star Jason Graw.
We've had him on the show.
We have.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Very
you know
nice
Jason,
guy.
Peter?
Amazingly
talented.
Not personally, but absolutely.
Wonderful talent. The two of them together, you know, they're very funny to begin with, and they're both hugely gifted, and this was a concept that they recently came up with. They've just tried it out in San Francisco, so it's playing Los Angeles for its first time, and then it's going across the country and going back to New York.
Oh, they were friends already?
Yes.
Oh, it's not something you sort of hobbled together for?
No. This is something they came to me with the idea of doing it here in Los Angeles at my place, and I said, absolutely. So that's happening. It's a special engagement Monday, June 11th.
And this is at your place.
Yes.
Sterling's Upstairs.
It's
you want
Sterling's
to just give the stats
the Federal,
on that while
sure.
we have it?
Yes, it's very, very simple to come, and tickets are selling like hotcakes, I might add. And you simply call for reservations. This is dinner and show. We brought back supper club at the Federal there.
I had the fish and chips.
You did?
That's all I ever eat. Yeah. I actually carry my own lemons with me. That's how often I have fish and chips.
Oh, my gosh. You simply call 818-754-8700. And this being a Monday special engagement, Monday evening, the dinner seating is between 6:30 and 7. Showtime at 8 o'clock. And you can visit us on the... on the worldwide internet.
Yes.
At www.msapr.net for further pricing and further information about parking, dress codes, all of that kind of good stuff.
So now you're doing stuff on, you were normally just Sunday nights at the Federal.
Right.
And now all of a sudden you're doing Monday
There's
nights
been a
at
big,
the Federal.
Because of us being there and becoming so hugely popular in such a very short amount of time. I mean, we have a track record here in Los Angeles with this. 6 years we've been doing this at another venue. Vitello's in Studio City, and we left there in March, and we opened at the Federal 2 weeks later. And there's just been a barrage of all these national tours and so forth coming through,
fabulous.
Calling me, and the Mary Poppins people have called me now, the Peter Pan people have called me, so they're all coming in doing a night, and we have to do it on Monday.
Oh, like little intimate schedules. Things aside from their regular performances.
Exactly.
Just like little... Oh.
Exactly, yeah.
See, I think I would almost prefer that over the full-out productions.
Yeah?
Because I like that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the behind-the-scenes, sort of like live DVD extras.
Right, so when the Peter Pan tour comes, which is on stage now at La Mirada Performing Arts Center with Kathy Rigby, of course, starring as Peter, and it's finishing out its U.S. tour, then it goes over to Asia and that part of the world, but they're coming here to have their big... evening as a cast together before they go abroad, and it's called the Neverland Cabaret, and Kathy will be present, and it's for her charity, which is called Discovery Arts.
Oh, right. You said it's a fundraiser.
Yes, yeah. A fundraiser for the lovely charity that deals in arts with children. So it's a win-win situation, and we're doing some interesting things for the audience and coming up with special drinks based on Captain Hook and Peter Pan. And
think of any of them?
I can. I actually can't tell you about them.
Oh, yeah. You
can't. Something that's special that's going to be announced that evening.
Oh, it's covert drinks here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's enticing.
Not just like Captain Morgan's thing.
Yeah, no. They're being created for the evening. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I'll bet they'll serve fish and chips.
They always
possibly.
Do. That's good. Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
That
so it's.
I like it better, I got to say. I know you can't politically say. Because you worked both places.
Yeah.
But I do like the Federal better just because it's more open. It's just a little too confined at the other place. Which is great for intimacy in terms of the performer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really, I enjoyed the Federal.
Well, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you said that.
Nothing against. Yeah, nothing
your endorsement
against
is
nothing
important
against
to
Vitello's.
Me.
Is it?
Yes.
Really?
Of course it is. Your opinion always matters.
But I'm a persnickety jerk. Though.
You are. Yeah. You can be, but can't we all? We all have been.
Peter, I wanted to ask you something.
I'm
switching topics now because now Michael's going to really go
after
me. You
got the persnickety and turned to me. All right.
There was something in
Your own risk, Peter.
Yeah, exactly.
There was something in your promotional material which really intrigued me. And you said something also earlier that you don't do a lot of live theater. Something in your bio said something about doing like infomercials. Do you do infomercials?
Oh, I did those for years. I mean, that was my bread and butter, that and industrials when I first moved to L.A., I mean, 25 years ago. And I did those for 15, 20 years, more so than I probably really ever intended or wanted.
Are they just as difficult as they appear? They just...
An incredible training ground for anybody, wanting to pursue film, television, or work in front of a camera.
Right.
A huge... Well, I can't tell you. I have hundreds and hundreds of industrials and infomercials and whatnot, and you're working in front of the camera. And you're working in front of the camera. It's the same,
yeah.
Whether you're shooting a film or...
Because I always think in terms of, like, it's sort of where you would cut your teeth in terms of keeping an audience focused.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I always think of... I did a one-person show for a long time, and there's just no downtime, and it's just you have to grab them, and you have to hold them.
Exactly.
And you just have to retain them. And I'm always curious about... Those guys fascinate me, that they can actually do
that. In the infomercials
Yeah.
Well, some of them are actually a little scary.
I don't want to bring you to your...
Like, they're a little scary.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the infomercials, but
I'm fascinated by that ability because it really is such it's like
you have to maintain that energy and level.
It's like hosting. It's like whenever you see someone host an award show,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
They just think anyone can do it.
Oh no.
And then you
exactly.
see someone who can't do it, and you're just like, okay, this is far more difficult than people expect it to be.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what people thought when I did the hosting for the Emmy Awards a couple. Years ago.
Did they
didn't mention that.
What color's the sky in your world, Michael?
Very dark, actually.
But I think that's the nature
of it. You're a great host, though. You hosted, you would MC at Vitello's, and you were great at it.
The you Emmy Awards that, at Vitello's?
No, your hosting abilities. You have a very easygoing, gregarious way about you.
Well, thank you.
Oh, I think our guest is calling. Let's see
is
if she's
right
here,
number?
Shall we?
Yeah.
You have reached state of the arts. This wouldn't be Faith, would it?
Yes.
She's with us. She has joined us. You're going to get digital applause for that, Faith. Thank you so much. How the hell are you? This is Paul Sterling.
I'm okay. How are you?
You know Michael Sterling,
hello,
but you don't know
hello,
me.
Hello, Faith. How are you?
Yes. Hi.
We look forward to having you at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal on June 11th with Jason Grubb. We were just talking about that while we were waiting for you to call us.
Yes. We're so excited.
Yeah. You might actually share with us, if you will, to some degree, what the show is about with that fabulous title.
A little synopsis for our listeners?
Well, it's a little bit of everything. But, you know, Jason and I go back quite a ways, and I don't want to divulge everything, but we've known each other for a long time. And we have done many shows together, and somebody, oh, I think it was the 42nd Street Moon in San Francisco had us to their theater for a gala for Jerry Herman. And we started it together, and we were just like, hey, this is fun. This could be funny and fun, and we could do it together. And so they started booking us, and the first booking was at the Raz Room in San Francisco. And, of course, you know, Jason and his inimitable way came up with Prince and the Showboy, and we just kind of started with our relationship and our relationship to musicals and shows and Broadway shows. And throughout the evening, you also get to know how far we go back and where it all started. And so we hit the highlights of some of the shows that we've done on Broadway and some of the things that we love. Falsettos is in there. Let's see. I do some Candor and Ebb. I do my song that I love from The Mad Show, The Boy From. And then we have some duets that we do together and open the show. And we do some Jerry Herman. We do like a small tribute to him.
Because he had a big...
So it's just got a little bit of everything.
Jerry had a big influence on both your lives. Is that correct? Both personally
Definitely.
And professionally.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that's very sweet.
And I had worked with him at the Boston Pops and did a tribute to him. And, of course, Jason's been with him a long time and toured with him. And I recorded Where in the World is My Prince? And I know Jason has recorded, I think, a whole CD sort of as a tribute to him.
Yes, he did.
So we thought it would be a good common ground to sort of bring that up and talk about him and just how much we love him. And he just holds a lot of hope for all his characters and his love of women because of his mother. And I don't know, just meant a lot to us. So we kind of started with that as a staple and kind of worked around it. And it's just been fun to see it grow, and it'll grow from the Raz Room to Sterling. So
Faith,
we just had a lot of fun with it.
I'm sorry to cut you off. Faith, is this only the second time that it's been performed? I mean, or the second
it's
run?
The third, actually. We did a private engagement in New York after the Raz Room. So it'll be the third.
Oh,
the third.
Great. So something...
we did like four or five shows at the Raz Room, so.
Oh, that sounds great.
Nice. We're sounds excited. Great. And with, I need to ask you this, because I was a fan of your work on Drop Dead Diva.
Oh, yes. I just filmed one, and I'm going down for the finale at the end of June.
Yeah. Such a great character.
It's our fourth season. Yep.
And a great show. And I love the girl, the
it
young lady
is a great
that stars
show.
In that show. She's something else, huh?
Brooke Elliott
yes.
is the bee's knees. I just love that gal. And last season I got to be with Sharon Lawrence and her, and it was just so much fun. The three of us got to sing and stuff. This year there's not as much music, but uh-huh. it's packed full of fun. And, you know, that Josh Berman is just, he is something. I just, the executive producer. And honestly, he's just kind of spoiled me, because I always get my scripts and I just, you know, I never have any thoughts or changes or questions. I'm just like, he's just made it, you know, just gold for me.
Oh, wow.
So I love Elaine, Jane's mom. It's just a great character for me.
Yeah.
She's always got
so
something
well.
Going on, you know.
You know, we, Faith, on State of the Arts here, we have something that we do with all of our guests. It's kind of a baptism, if you will, that comes toward the end of the show.
Did I be scared?
Not too scared. Not too scared. We just ask if you have any sort of outstanding recollection of awkward, perhaps embarrassing moments that have happened to you during your career. That could be certainly on the stage, it could be on television, it could be in any aspect of your career.
What are your funniest on-stage mishap? Which we also asked Peter about, too. We can give her time to think about it. Peter can share one with us.
You want to think about that, Faith? And then we'll go to our guest, Peter Hussman.
I have two.
Let's do it. But tell yours.
All right. This is Peter Hussman.
All right.
Faith.
Yeah, hi, Faith. Yeah, no,
hi.
He's starring as Daddy Warbucks in a beautiful production of Annie here in Los Angeles.
That Michael directed.
That I happen to direct. Thank you very much.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so. No, it's not the biggest thing. It just happened yesterday, and Michael doesn't know. It was kind of funny at the very touching scene at the end of Act One where I'm taking the necklace off of Annie, and she had put the necklace on first and then mic'd herself up. And so I started pulling, and where it's a very touching scene. It's the end of Act One, and she's about to break into this little tender song, and I'm pulling the necklace off, and I'm pulling, and I'm going, oh my God, what's happening? And this is theater in the round, Faye, so it's like, there's no way of hiding everything. And suddenly
this whole
mic cable starts pulling up from her back, and then she starts walking across the stage, and I'm supposed to be walking off the stage at this time, and I'm following around quickly, trying without my glasses on to unclasp the thing. In the audience just started busting up.
She's the bionic orphan. That's what she was.
Exactly. So, it's just one of those little theater awkward moments that the audience loves to see.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, and of course, you're dying inside and they're howling.
Exactly. So. Exactly. But my aging eyes got the necklace off in time.
Well, God bless you. Yeah. And they love to see it, somhow.
Yes.
Go to the place that you just go, woo, okay, and on you go.
You suddenly become a real person again.
Yeah.
Exactly. What's yours, Faith? What is your tale of war?
Well, I have two. One was in Bells Are Ringing, and the typewriter completely, it was in with Mark Kudish, which, of course, he just makes me howl anyways. But I had pulled the typewriter around on this sort of rolling sort of little table, and I just kind of whipped it around like I normally did, and the typewriter went flying onto the floor and cracked in half.
The tape from the
typewriter just completely went all over the stage, and of course it's 1950s typewriter, so it's like ink everywhere. It was hysterical.
Yeah.
It stopped the show for about 5 minutes, and I just completely did it like a nosedive into the sofa, just completely stopped the show. And I don't know how we got back on, but I just turned to the girl and my line was, I think you have to go now. As you can see, we have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
And he finally got off stage, and I just took out a piece of paper out of my little purse I had, and I just started to take dictation instead of going on with the typewriter because I was supposed to be typing.
Oh, good.
And,
good.
It just kind of worked out, but it really did halt the show for about 5 minutes, and I don't know how we continued on after that.
Man.
But the best one was in Little Mermaid because I had, of course, this 60-pound costume, and I had a sub-dresser that night, and there were two sort of, I had my little octopus legs were in two sort of ways, so they had to crank it on, and one was a cape, and the first one was like all these tentacles, and so she switched me from the tentacles to the cape, and I'm supposed to like twirl it in the air and the last note of Poor Unfortunate Soul. And so I went up and I go, you poor unfortunate, and she had not tightened it the right way, and the whole apparatus fell completely on the floor in rhythm. And the conductor looked at me, and the eels looked at me, and Ariel looked at me, and I just took my hands and went slowly up my body and just held the note like four times as long, like it was supposed to be like that.
Right.
And the eels got the apparatus and just like slung it off stage. And of course she had to sign the contract, and I was supposed to whip the cape to her, and there was no cape. So I just walked over to her like Mae West, and I go, not just any ink, darling. And I just took my fingernail and went, use mine. And so she took my fingernail and signed the contract.
Awesome.
But it was hysterical.
And
the dresser, of course, was mortified. And I just howled with laughter. And I just thought, honey, that's the best thing that's happened to me all week.
You have to. What are you going to do? Everyone knows it happened. You just got to make it bigger.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got to go with it.
That's hysterical. We are out of time, but I want to tuck one more thing in there to remind people how to see Faith in the Sterling's upstairs at the Federal. Attendance for the show is by advance reservation only, 818-754-8700. That's 818-754-8700. Dinner seating 6:30 to 7 with an 8 o'clock showtime. This is for The Prince and the Showboy. And once again, www.msapr.net for pricing and further information. Faith, I'm sorry that we didn't catch you earlier, but we're so glad that you made it through.
Thank you, my darling.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry I didn't either, but hopefully okay. That'll help.
That's okay. Yes, indeed. And we'll see you on June 11th.
Can't wait.
Thank you, Faith.
Thanks, Faith. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Nice to meet you, Peter.
You too, Faith. Thank you.
And nice to see you again, Peter. We are out of time,
yes,
but we
Peter,
look forward
thank you
to
so
seeing
much.
Michael, do we have time to tuck in the stats on Annie one more
we
time?
We do, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, simply call 818-244-8481 for tickets to see Peter Hussman and a beautiful cast of Annie in its 35th anniversary year at the Glendale Center Theater, the oldest continuously running theater in the United States.
And I want to also give special thanks to Ed Martin and Debbie Cooper, who sat in to sort of join us today and sat quietly
like
and
a
listened.
Little church mouse you were.
Yes, just perfectly silent and just so nice to have some more people in here. It was a nice change. Michael, I look forward to sharing the mic with you next week.
Thank you, Paul.
There we go.
Me right.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.